gives to us, all in the context of encouraging us to stand. Stand firm. Because I think if any of us are really truly aware and paying attention, we know that we are in a warfare. We know this. And the warfare is no joke. Now the good news, the great news is that we have the champion with us and in us. Greater is He, right? So we must rest in a truth like that. And so to finish our discussion on the helmet of salvation this morning, before we do that, let me just offer up a prayer for God's help in understanding this and appropriating it and appreciating it. Father, thank You for the blessings that we have in Christ alone. Outside of Christ, we have nothing. We are hopeless. We are aimless, empty, chasing the wind. And yet, in Christ, we are positionally none of those things. Practically, we need help. We need to know of the security that we possess. For those that are struggling with great difficulties, physically, emotional trials, burdens that they're carrying, so many represented in this room alone and throughout our building. We pray that they would rest in what we will further discuss today, and that is rest in the hope of our salvation. This is what I need today. This is what we need. And it supersedes all of these puny, temporal things in this world. And yet, sometimes we wander in our minds away from that great hope. And so I pray that we would not do that this morning, that we would utterly be encouraged, that we would appreciate our great salvation in this day and in these moments as if it just happened, those early moments when we first were found by the grace of God in Christ. The joy that we had when we became born again. Let that joy be rekindled this morning. Thank You for the evidence of that joy on the face of Kelsey this morning, and we pray for her growth and her spiritual journey to have meaning and beauty, and that all of us would be champions in Christ for this great salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. This is good news for us. And take up, accept, receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Today we're going to finish up our discussion on the helmet of salvation. And I had hoped today that we were going to finish up completely with the sword of the Spirit and then the admonition to pray. And then I decided, well, I'm going to separate the admonition to pray at the end of this treatise that Paul is giving to us, this encouragement. And I would like to see if I can't do a little mini-series on prayer itself connected with this passage. So that's down the road. So don't be discouraged when I come back to you and say, now let's go back to Ephesians 6 because we have one more piece to cover and then we want to talk about prayer. But in the meantime, next Sunday, of course, we don't have Sunday school, Easter Sunday breakfast, and then morning celebration, worship. And then the Sunday after, I'll be out of town. And so Bill Crothers is going to be doing a series on the Holy Spirit. Now, he's already taught our class a couple of times, and I just thoroughly enjoyed him, and I think you did too. And he has been for quite some time working on a series related to the work of the Holy Spirit. And so I will miss lesson one because that's going to happen on the 23rd. And for the next several weeks, Bill is going to take us on a little journey. And then when he's done, Lord willing, I'd hope to step back in and try to, as I said, finish up the Sword of the Spirit briefly and then begin a little mini-series on prayer because I need that and I think you do too. So next week, or 2 weeks from today, Bill is going to begin. Is that okay, Bill? That still works, right? It would be awful if you said, what? I'm not doing that. Where'd you get that idea? All right, so we've started a couple of weeks ago, and we pointed out that Paul says, now take up the helmet of salvation. And we were reflecting on Isaiah 59:17, where it tells us that Yahweh takes the pieces of the armor, including the helmet of salvation, and he brings salvation and squashes the enemies. So the helmet brings him, or he is the salvation. And then in the New Testament, Paul takes up that imagery, as he has done with some of the other pieces. And again, these pieces aren't exhaustive about everything that a soldier needs. It just covers the highlights, the main parts of the armor that a typical Roman soldier would wear, and others. And now Paul says, this is a helmet that he gives to us. This helmet of salvation. And this is a salvation that brings us utter and complete security and victory. And this salvation is not something to be lightly ignored. It's not something that we should look at and say, well, I've been saved. He's saying it is a protective piece of our armor. I mean, once the soldier was, so to speak, dressed, and he, you know, finally added to himself the shield of faith and put it in place appropriately, somebody would generally then, history tells us, protocol tells us, that somebody would generally then hand him his helmet and then hand him his sword. The rest he could do himself. And it's not that he couldn't pick up the helmet or the sword, but it was almost like this is the final pieces, sir. Take the helmet. Take the sword. But we're not talking about the sword today. We're just talking about the helmet. We described it as something made of generally thick leather, including sometimes brass in place and so forth, some sort of a foamy insert to be a little bit more comfortable. But so many people I read about this, even as I also compared Scripture with Scripture, so many other people that I read, and they talk about this helmet being so snug and tight and yet hot and sometimes uncomfortable, but it was the very piece that people needed, or that the soldier would need, to feel secure. Last time I met with you, I talked about the insecurity that you feel when you're a football player and your helmet comes flying off. I hate that. And I hated that feeling. I hate it when I see it on TV. I'm always going, ooh, don't go, stay, get away from that guy. I hope he's protected. Because there's something very helpful about knowing my head is protected. My head is protected. In this particular letter that Paul writes, he's not saying put on the breastplate of salvation or the belt of salvation. He had other words that connected to those pieces. But in this case, he calls the helmet the piece that actually goes around our head. Control central, if you will. I don't want to make too much out of that, except to say that the helmet protects the head, which is where I contemplate my salvation. See, I don't contemplate it here. I don't contemplate it necessarily on my feet. I understand the importance of my feet being protected in such a way that it makes me stand firm in my salvation, portraying a gospel that actually brings me peace, right? So I want to portray the right message about what the gospel does in my life. It is, in fact, the gospel of peace. But in this case, Paul says, put on that helmet, which is covering the place where I know who I am in Christ and who He is for me. This from Spurgeon's Morning by Morning. Jesus is the chief among 10,000, the altogether lovely one. Christ is the chiefest or better than the best. His love is unknowable. His riches are unsearchable. His joy is unspeakable. His ways are untrackable. His grace is inexhaustible. His peace unfathomable. And He Himself is unsurpassable. His character was beautiful with holiness in every detail, Hebrews tells us. His love was pure and faithful in all its affection. His service was true and beneficent in all its workings. His words were tender and true in all their utterances. His life was consistent in every department. His aim was single and concentrated in glorifying God, His Father. His mission was to benefit all who would trust in Him in dying a death which they deserved. Christ is Christianity. The best evidence of Christianity is Christ. Yes, He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. Song of Songs 5:16. Think about the phrase, as you contemplate your salvation, Christ is Christianity. Christ is Christianity. And what's more, the best evidence of Christianity is Christ. The best evidence of Christianity is Christ. Is Christ in you? Who is Christ according to you? According to your life. As you now possess the helmet of salvation, which gives you a confidence and a safety and an utter and perfect security, if you will. Even though actual helmets don't provide the ultimate security that the helmet of salvation does. So Paul says, where you muse, where you contemplate, where you think, where you go when you are in the midst of fire and trial and battle and difficulty and burden, where do you go in your mind? Your mind is to be protected by the helmet of salvation. This is no little thing. This is a beautiful piece of the armor. And as I've said to you several times, it's not like Paul said, okay, what could I say about the armor? He intends to bring the armor to a beautiful spiritual level and life. He wants you to know that in Christ you are utterly protected because He is utterly the champion. He is utterly the victor and the king. And what an appropriate week to talk about this. As He begins His passion, as it were, toward the will of His Father and to save all those who will ever put their faith in Him. What a great week to reflect upon salvation. So let's just take a few moments and look at some encouraging passages. I'm going to need somebody to read Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. Who'll do that? 5, 1 and 2. It's going to be Ron. I need somebody to read 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8. Just one verse. Somebody there? Tyler? Ephesians 1, 18. Anybody? Terry? Bixler? Philippians 1, 6. Somebody? Yes, Jeff, Katie? Colossians 1, 27. All right, Dennis. And then Matthew 10, 28. Any women? Brave? Oh, Parker? Okay, good. Wow, that was horrible timing. That was just horrible timing. That was horrible timing. I'm really sorry. You know, I see the t-shirts, I see what's going on, I see the muscle. That was awful. The great theologian Albert Barnes said this. A well-founded hope of salvation will preserve us in the day of spiritual conflict and will guard us from the blows which an enemy would strike. He goes on to say, a soldier would not fight well without the hope of victory. Without the hope of victory. The key word in what he is saying there is hope. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the hope. Because the alternative is to be swept away by what is happening right now. So please, honor the Lord with a confidence that says, your helmet is good enough. Your salvation is good enough. Before those men read, let me read to you a familiar and wonderful passage that we've even looked at again this last semester. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, something yet to come, right? That is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In other words, the full fruition of your salvation yet awaits you. Again, pointing us to keep your eye on the hope. In this, verse 6, you rejoice, though now for a little while. In the warfare, though he doesn't say those words, but I'm just bringing that to bear on this passage. Though now for a little while, in the warfare, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible. Is that your joy this morning? Is that my joy? Joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Salvation is a big deal. He goes on concerning this salvation. The prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, us. But you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels long to look, into which angels long to look. Oh, my word, do you realize, do we realize what salvation we have? The helmet makes a little more sense now, doesn't it? The salvation is secure. The helmet of salvation is a perfectly given piece of armor in which there is surety. You cannot lose your salvation. And so, since you cannot lose your salvation, ponder your salvation with hope. But a hope that is not saying, I hope so. It's a hope that's saying, I know so because I've been told so. And here's what's happening. And here's where it's going. Where it's taken me. Not where it is in this moment. There's a positional truth that applies in the moment, but also a beautiful unfolding of that positional truth that applies in the future. The good news for you and me right now is we're not home yet. This is not home. We are risen with Christ. So we set our affections on things above, where Christ is, and not on things of this earth, Paul tells us. So, for further encouragement, good and loud as you have your turn, and slow enough for guys like me to understand it and what you're reading, okay? Romans 5, 1 and 2. Thank you. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Ephesians 1:18. Philippians 1:6. Colossians 1:27. Matthew 10:28. Isn't it great? Isn't it just lovely how the Word of God stands alone and speaks for itself? You hear these verses, and are you not encouraged by the salvation that has been granted to you? And one of the key words in that salvation is the word hope. How can we miss that? And in this life, there are many things that will attack us. that will seek to destroy us. And yet we do not fear those things, because our hope and our trust and our fear is the one who is ultimately in charge. Ultimately in charge, with all authority. Remember, before Paul shares these thoughts in this letter, he's already told us who we are in Christ in the first half of his letter, and in specifically chapter 1, where he talks about Christ having authority over everything. So the salvation that you possess is much greater than the trial that you're enduring or the attack on your flesh. The sin that is trying to wrestle you to the ground. The hope of your salvation is precious to you. Is precious to you. We have such trouble understanding what we have in Christ, because the only lens in which we can understand it and appreciate it on our end is a sin-stained lens. But thankfully, the Word of God is not stained. It is perfect. And we get to be bolstered up and encouraged by what it says. Philippians 1, 27 and 28. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm, again, standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. We have been given a great gift. We have been given an enormous gift. In fact, the best gift that can ever be or will ever be given. The gift is so amazing it dwarfs all other gifts. And the best gift in this life that you can remember or think about or recall is so tiny and insignificant in comparison to this great gift. You have a gift in the salvation of Jesus that not only secures your place and your hope and is being kept in heaven and guarded by God, you have His presence now. You have His person now. I mean, if that's not true, if all that we're being told is what's coming and what we're going to get, but right now, good luck. Well, that's just not good. That is not good. And then in this room alone, just this room, there are so many different trials that are represented. So many different issues, so many different burdens, weights. So many. And if I cannot extend to us all the fact that we are secure now and forever in Christ, because the salvation, the theme of all the scriptures, the redemptive theme, this whole thing has been about redemption. God buying us back through the work of His Son. That is to not only affect us then, but affects us now. If that is lost on us, then the reputation of Christ in us is diminished. not only as we look in the mirror, but as we portray it to others, it's diminished. Remember, the best evidence of Christianity is Christ. Christ in you. So don't, blow by the helmet of salvation. This is not simply a positional statement. It is a statement of hope. But here's the thing. The hope is absolutely perfect and sure. And all of the things of this life that will fall short, that will fail you, that will discourage you, are dwarfed by the hope of your salvation. And again, it's not, I hope I'm saved. It's that I'm saved, I've got a great hope. We've got a great hope. Oh, I hope that'll be an encouragement to us this day. We've got a couple of minutes. Anybody that would like to make a comment, a thought, toss me out. Jennifer, be quiet. Anybody with any kind of an observation, question, thought, anything at all? Not to put anybody on the spot. Yes, sir. Grace. This is all beautifully wrapped in God's grace. That should be an encouragement. Lord, spare us, right, from the mental assent, as it were, to these things, and not the beautiful embracing of these truths. Let's not just be people that agree with it. Let's be people that are saturated with it. Somebody else, comment, thought? Yes, ma'am. Well, that's good preaching. That was good, Don. Thank you. You didn't hear it. I'm sorry. I should have given her a microphone. That was... Let the women keep silence, though. I mean, that's... I keep coming back to that. I struggle with that. Yes, Jennifer. Good. Thank you, Jennifer. Maybe time for one more comment. Anybody? Yes, ma'am. Good. Thank you, Jan. You know, we need to be people that use the God-given brain that is protected by the helmet of salvation, which is, again, just saying a mouthful. We are protected. And beautifully and very helpfully, the Word of God is our refuge. The living Word, the written Word. To be renewed in our minds, to think biblically against thoughts that come naturally to us. There is so much to do with thinking biblically to renew your mind. Don't trust your mind on its own. Don't trust your own wisdom. Let our minds be saturated with the truth. Let our minds be renewed day by day with the truth, because that's what we need. That's what changes people. Even the world will tell you, and I've already experienced this, in their attempt to help people in the world of psychiatry and psychology, so many of them talk about how to help people change the way they think. They don't use the word of God. But their mission is to try to help people change the way they think. Do you know what? That is not an original idea. Isn't that something? It's not an original idea. It's exactly what God wants us to do. But the change agent is the Word. So be encouraged. The helmet of salvation is greater than we think. God bless you, and thank you for your kind attention and your comments.